You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Jeff Devi. Now we're talking.
Type Radio. Type Radio.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
It's August 27, 2016. We're at the Amsterdam Sign Painter Conference Letterheads 2016, and our guest is Jeff Devi. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
We have a peculiar first signature question, and that is, are you religious?
Yes, I do believe in God.
Does that help you in your work, or does that play a role in any way?
Yeah, it plays a role in my life. I mean, I look at the beauty that surrounds us. I am thankful for my talent, and I do believe there is a bigger being than myself.
And do you have rituals?
Like religious rituals?
No, really specifically like in work or in your life or...
Not really, I don't think so, no.
Are you superstitious?
No, not at all.
Okay, no black cats that...
It doesn't bother me. If I ran one over, I would just keep on going. Wouldn't change a bit. I believe in your own destiny. I believe that you are given the freedom to do what you want, to take your talent and magnify it. And it's really up to you on the choices you make on this path in life.
And how did you find your talent? Like, how did you?
I was very fortunate to, I grew up around cars and racing. My dad raced. And I actually was at a car show at about 12, and they were airbrushing t-shirts. It was a real popular deal in the 70s. So, you know, if you had a Chevy van or something, and they would paint that year of the van and put a name and kind of on a t-shirt. So I actually purchased a t-shirt, and when I got home, my mom said, you know, you could probably do that. So I had a mini bike, I sold it, bought an airbrush, put a sheet in the wall in the garage, and started practicing drawing and airbrushing. That led into going to the racetrack, and where I was wearing one of the t-shirts and watching another t-shirt painter, an older gentleman, probably wasn't that old, maybe he's 25, 30. And he asked me who did my t-shirt, and I said, I did. And he said, well, turn around, because I had like a name on the front. He was like, well, that's pretty good. And he said, you want to go to work? And I'm like, sure. So I went from standing on one line of the little rope, watching him, to the other side, and he handed me a work order, an airbrush, there was an easel, and I went to work, and I was 14 years old.
And then you never stopped from there?
Pretty much not.
And you've never actually did like formal education?
No, I'm completely self-taught.
Yeah. And did you feel like you were missing out on stuff, or like missing out on knowledge, or at any point?
I think sometimes, but sometimes I think it was too dumb to realize I was, you know what I'm saying? There wasn't letterhead events. There was journeymen where we're not really willing to share very much. And I don't even think I was aware of apprentice program. There was a couple still, because that had been in the late 70s. There were still a few of them around the country. But I really liked it, and I liked striping, and I taught myself to stripe, and I taught myself to letter, and then kind of just went from there.
And how did you do that? Just by looking at examples or like what mm-hmm. other guys did and trying to copy that?
Try to copy that, you know, and then evaluate, you know, your mistakes and what you're doing, and you're just trying to suck everything in. And there were some books, you know, basic books. And then I went from basically being kind of a basic sign painter to doing some race car stuff and doing some airbrushing. And there were some pretty good race car artists that did fancy, more blended type of lettering. And I really liked that. And so I just learned how to do it.
And did you have particular people that you wanted to make the race cars for? Like if there was a winning car or...
You know, later, yeah, I mean, of course, it's always would be a dream to do like a big name car, you know, I mean, that would always be a big deal. And later in life, I was actually able to work with a couple really good sign writers and artists, and able to work on numerous projects throughout the country. And we did, you know, top name, top fuel cars, funny cars, you know, big names. Mm-hmm. And so, and then once you get kind of to that level, then you really feed off each other, you know, and you trade ideas, and you know, you learn something from them, they learn something from you. And
so it's not competitive in that sense, you're more
not really. I think when you get to, there's more admiration towards each yeah. other than there is being competitive, you know. But you're also not in the same town, that probably helps.
You basically kept to the cars. Your specialization is cars, have striping and lettering.
Yeah, a lot of vehicles. Yeah. I've kind of always liked vehicles more than I have signs. I still do signs, and my logic to vehicles is they have to be redone sooner than signs. So if I do a sign for Type Radio and you hang it up on the deal, that will probably be there 10 years. If I do a commercial truck for you or pickup, probably 4 to 5. So you're going to see me twice for a vehicle then before I would see you for a sign. So if we have the sign on a building, which I would do if I was doing your trucks more mm-hmm. like I do the sign, and then your business expands, and I've done your first truck, and I've got two, that, you know, 3 years later you buy three more trucks, mm-hmm. you get rid of the other two, they're worn out. You know, so, you know, 1 year we're going to do 5 for you. So, and I'm in there also in and out.
But it's more of a business decision, or it's also you like the...
I think the in and the out, and I think yeah. the business decision, it was always something I decided a long time ago, why I like doing vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, there's no coat out time. I don't have to cut wood. I don't have to coat. I don't have to prep. You know what I'm saying? And people seem to like their vehicles and would spend more money on a vehicle per se yeah. than they probably will on a sign.
Okay. And there, are there projects for you that are like the most memorable project? Like this for me was a turning point or a change or worst project ever? Like
we've all had a few of those. That's a really great memorable projects yeah. that were pretty amazing that I got to work on. And they're usually not the ones by myself. They're actually joint projects.
Or strange requests. What is the strangest request you've had?
I don't even know if they're strange. I have probably lettered almost anything you can possibly almost think of. Seriously. I've lettered coffee cups, I've done Pinewood Derby cars, I've done, you know, motorcycle cars, planes, helicopters, jets, helmets, windows, walls.
And what is the hardest one? What are the hardest jobs for you?
I don't know if there's any that I would say are hard.
Yeah. Like in terms of, is a plane the same as a truck? I don't know. In terms of.
In 2000 and I think 3 or 4, I went to Quebec and did the Oakley jet for Jim Gennard for Oakley Sunglasses, which was I think they called it a Global Express Bombardier made. Mm-hmm. And I was in part of a team. It was not my job, but I was chosen to be a team with my friend and two other guys. And we actually did this jet for 9 days. We painted 1,600 rivets on it, this big, airbrushed, beveled. Made it look like an old warplane, even though it was a brand new jet. And that was kind of cool and crazy. You know, long days, you got scaffolding that you can lay on your back and you're airbrushing up here and you're crawling on wings and yeah.
Was that the biggest? That in size?
Oh, that definitely probably the biggest. That thing's huge. So trains and stagecoaches and buggies. Everything, just everything.
But is it also that you want to do everything? Like you see something and it's like, oh, I wish I could.
I think kind of my business approach to it is I just don't really turn anything down. You know, because if I turn down this job, maybe it's this job is the one I could have had. You know? So a guy brings in his kid's Pinewood Derby and says, can you put the number and a pinstripe on it? Sure. So I can do that. Then the next year he's like, you know, I got a new pickup. And so I just kind of take everything on. There's very few things I don't do. If it's something that we actually don't do in a shop, But if it's something that I have the capability of doing, I'm going to do it.
Okay. You've done a workshop here at the conference here in
Two
Amsterdam?
Two of them, yesterday and today.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Is that really something that you feel you need to do to pass on the knowledge and the skills to other people and make the whole profession like more known and more?
I don't know if need would be the thing. I want to, you know what I'm saying, more personally, because it is kind of a dying art. I feel very blessed. It's been very good to me, and so I like giving back. And so if you can help people become better, it basically benefits everybody, because the more that's out there, the more people want it, and it doesn't die, you know. So I'm known for lettering trucks. That's kind of what I've always done, back to the vehicle deals. And I take a lot of my race car style lettering that actually is influenced in my truck lettering. So I do a lot of trucks.
And you said dying, that the whole profession is sort of to
prevent
that?
Well, it has, since the computers came out, you know, and which is really fun about this, you see a lot of younger people that are, you know, really interested in becoming sign writers, and there seems to be a trend to have things painted. I actually was very fortunate because I was at the tail end of kind of hand painting and actually became kind of almost a journeyman at about the same time the computers came out, and the computers just basically wiped out the apprentice program.
Okay.
So when I lived in Sacramento, and I actually worked for a union sign shop for about 8 months, which was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because I really learned some really good letter structure, learned how to do clean blocks, how to space, and some of that stuff from some guys that have been at it, you know, 30, 40 years. And that really was probably one of the best things that actually ever happened to me, because I was okay with a brush, but I needed some more structure. And so that worked out really, really well for me. So.
And do you see differences, like if you see the trucks here and how, I mean, there's some that are...
The trucks are totally different here. Yeah. They're very corporate. They got, you know, vinyls on the boxes, but not much on the cabs, and they're just cab overs. We have, you know, real long nose ones, and, you know, but it is different. I got friends in Australia that stripe different. It's different around the world, I think, from people have different tastes and different trends at the way they like things.
Yeah, because here you, I think you hardly see them. Well, you do, but they most of them use vinyl.
Just vinyl, very corporate looking.
Yeah,
I mean, like single color type stuff, you know.
But is that? I mean, is that like a lot of comp? Is it much cheaper to do it like that for them? I assume.
I'm assuming it would be.
Okay, and in the States, it's much more of a.
I think there's more independent drivers in the States.
Okay.
Not so much corporation run. I mean, corporations have a look and everything's designed and it has to be like that. Independent, that's what I like about independent truck drivers, is it's their new truck. I mean, they've got their life savings, you know, it's their business, it's what they
want
do,
it personalized.
And they really want it personalized and they want it done right.
Okay.
So that's what I kind of specialize in.
Okay, and do you travel a lot then, all around the world?
You know, I used to travel,
yeah.
And I don't travel anymore. Okay. Very seldom do I travel. I've done some nose art on some warbirds. We've got some people that restore them in the state, and so I've had to go a couple hours one direction and a couple hours the other way. But yeah, Pacific Special Project, I will travel. You know, I've flown to do some certain things, but mostly my shop's kind of grown and I have 4 employees beside myself, so I try not to leave too much and kind of run that show.
Mm-hmm. And do you think they will continue your business?
I'm hoping somebody's going to.
Yeah.
But you don't have, like, somebody standing...
I have 2 sons that are in the business.
Yeah.
My oldest son is Jeffrey, and he actually works for Dan Antonelli in New Jersey. He's his lead designer, logo designer. And then my youngest son, Brady, actually works for me, and he's my lead designer. And we do quite a bit of logos, and we do wraps and all that. So I have one side of the shop that's strictly digital printing and vinyl, and I have another side of the shop that's kind of my bay that's all handwork.
Okay, and has he picked up also the hand work?
No.
Are you disappointed? No.
A little, because it takes too long. That's the problem. It takes too long. It takes a long time to master it, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you want, you have to want it.
Yeah, I think you do. You have to have this desire. I was so fortunate that, you know, at 14 and 16 years old, I mean, at 16, I was like, that's what I'm going to do.
There's this photograph on your Facebook page. Is that with your dad and a light blue race car in the back, which I saw?
I wouldn't know what picture that is.
It seems like 1970 or something around that time.
On my Facebook page?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Never mind.
There's a bunch on there. I don't know which one it is, but yeah. And I drag raced my whole life. Mm-hmm. That was the other deal. So
you drove yourself.
Yeah, I had two motivators. One was to become very good at my craft so that I could afford to pay for my bad habit. So one keeps you motivated for the other one. They're expensive and they take a lot of work.
Well, it was the best of both worlds to combine those two, and actually start painting race cars.
And I did. We did paint a lot of race cars. We painted, actually, me and a friend of mine, Scott Hyamis, we painted, I lost count. He says close to almost 225 years, you know, from funny cars, race cars. We're talking from the sketch to the painted, to striped, to, you know, airbrush grills, headlights, lettering.
And that, how does the process work? You show sketches first and say this is...
I do on some customers.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, I have other customers that absolutely hand you a car, which is kind of amazing, and say, let me know when you're done.
Wow.
So, and think of that. Just
that's so
do you get nervous?
Yeah, isn't that a little crazy? I mean, honestly, here's a brand new funny car body. Let me know when you're finished.
Wow. And then the unveiling moment, like how do you drive up the car?
It used to be easier for phones because they would come pick it up and it was just like, wow, had no idea, they're shot. Now everybody wants you to take a picture and text it to them. Which is actually, I just won't. I had a guy the other day, I was doing, I don't even remember what project it was. And he was like, well, send me a picture. And I said, I'm sending you one at the beginning and that's it. Because what happens when you start seeing pictures, you start trying to put the puzzle together in your head. So you're going to head down the wrong direction with the finished project. Or you might have a negative reaction because you're only looking to the one color that maybe you hate or maybe you don't like it. But you haven't seen the whole project done so that color has to be there. And so it's much better when it's all finished than it is. I just tell them, nope.
Really? Do you put something in, like a secret sort of...
No, I don't hide anything or anything like that.
No. Maybe that's you're just saying that because you just don't want to reveal it.
No, honestly, I don't think I do. I did a race car for one of our customers out of Canada, and we painted in a kind of homemade paint booth, and a doggone fly landed in a clear coat. Could have landed in the blue, we could have picked him out and his little legs would have been in there and we could have sand and polished him, but no, he landed in the yellow. This car's done. It's a final clear coat. And you're like, are you serious? So I cut him out of there, we sanded it down, but he still had his legs. So I painted a fly, just like the one I cut out of there, on it. I mean, all super detailed. I put a tinted drop shadow so you could see his wings and his body up off the deal, and mixed up pearl, and I put little green pearl in on the clear on the wings, and I mean, nailed it. And I told the guy what happened. I've painted three cars for him, and every one of them has to have a fly on it.
Nice.
Out of that whole car, the coolest thing is this fly. And because it looks so real, and people walk by and he just laughs. He thinks this is the coolest thing. It's painted really, and they get it. So, silly stuff.
Nice.
Silly stuff that happens.
Last question. Yeah. How would you like to be remembered?
I like to be remembered as a good father, a great husband, and a good sign painter. Basically, in those orders.
That's good enough. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Type Radio.